Today in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Bavitzia, Daf Mem Gimel. Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to finish off Perek HaMafkid today. We begin at the very top of Mem Gimel and Lalef with the new Mishnah on the top line. We continue to learn for the safety and success of Chayilei Tzal. They should be able to go bring back the Chatufim b'Mehera, and everyone should be in good health. Be'ezus Hashem, all those in need of Refuah Shleima should have one, and there should be Shalom on all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we begin very top line, Mem Gimel and Lalef with the new Mishnah. HaMafkid Motz Eitzel Shulchani. Here, Reuven goes and puts his money by a Shulchani. A Shulchani is a money changer. He's a person who just exchanges coins. They had people coming from different areas, and they would have to exchange the coins. They didn't have banks in those days. They didn't have ATM machines. They didn't have places where you could just go get money. So the money changers, the Shulchani, would be exchanging currencies and breaking down and giving change for larger coins to smaller coins and vice versa. So if somebody gave his money over to the Shulchani, knowing that the Shulchani uses money on a regular basis, so it depends. Im tsururin, if he bundled it up, if he tied it up, implying, more or less, how do we know that this implies, but if he bundles it up in a certain sort of a way that it demonstrates that he doesn't want the Shulchani to use that money, so then lo yishtamish ben, then the Shulchani doesn't have any right to use that money. And as a result of that, lefikach, he's only functioning as a shomer chinam. And as a result, im avdu, if they're right now, we'll understand this as a regular Gneva of Yaveda, so then eno chayav yachriusin, as a shomer chinam, he'll be part of a Gneva of Yaveda and certainly for onsen. However, if when Reuven gave the money to the Shulchani, he gave it to him mutarim, he gave it to him untied, he gave it to him just as cash, he gave it to him as coins, so then the Shulchani has permission to go and use those coins. That's the understanding. When you give over coins to the money changer, you don't expect to get back the exact same coins, you get back the same value. So if you gave him $10, you expect to get back $10, but lav dafka, the same $10 if you didn't bundle it up in a way that demonstrates that you don't want him to use it. So therefore, if you gave it to him mutarim, if you gave it to him untied, so then yishtamish ben, the Shulchani has the right to use that money. Now, the Shulchani is not paying for the right to use that money. He's essentially getting that money for free as a watchman, but since he's using the money, he gets all the benefit. He's now considered a shoel, and therefore, when he gets this untied money, he has the right to use it. But as a shoel, lefikach im avdu, if it is lost, chayev beachriusin, he's going to in fact be chayev for anything that happens to it. At least that'll be one version of the Gemara. Be chayev not only for gneva veveda, believe me, chayev for onsen. We'll explain this more when we get to the Gemara. Now, the Mishnah says, if a person would be mafkid mos eitzel bal habayis, if Reuven gives money to his friend. Now, this friend's not a shulchani, he's just his friend. So therefore, in this situation, there is no implicit understanding that the friend is going to use the money. So, bein surun or bein mutarim, whether they were bundled up or whether they just gave him loose money. Lo yishtamish ben, the friend has no right to use the money. Shimon, who's holding on to that money, it's a shomer chinam for Reuven, so he has no right to use the money. And as long as he's not negligent, lefikach im avdu, eino chayav b'achriusin. If he does proper shmira of the money, he puts it wherever he's supposed to put it, like we discussed in yesterday's shir, so then, as long as he's not negligent, he didn't do pshia, so then he's not going to be chayav for gneva v'yeda, and certainly he's not going to be chayav for onsen, because he has no right to use the money, and therefore, as long as he does a proper shmira, as a shomer chinam, he's part of for anything but negligence. And finally, the last case is, hamafkid mos eitzel chenvani. If Reuven gave his money for safekeeping over to not a money changer and not a regular balabais, but somebody in between, a storekeeper, a chenvani. Now, sometimes storekeepers need money, but they're not functioning as a shulchani. So in this situation, what's the understanding? So the first opinion is that it's kibala bayis, the Rameyer. Rameyer says that we view the chenvani in the same way that we would the balabais. Just like the balabais has absolutely no right to use the money, and therefore, as long as he does a proper shmira on it, he's not negligent. He is a shomer chinam, and he's going to be potter for gineva v'yaveda and certainly for onsen. So chenvani kibala bayis is the Rameyer. That's Rameyer's opinion. On the other hand, Rav Yehuda says no. Rav Yehuda omer chenvani kishulchani, that the chenvani has the status of the shulchani, and we'll explain this more in the Gemara as well. And therefore, he would be chayev for things other than pshia. He would be chayev even for gineva v'yaveda and onsen. Again, depending on the two ways that we're going to learn this discussion about the shulchani in a moment in the Gemara. Okay, so first we start off the Gemara and it says, Mishum did tsurin lo yishtamish ben. Why did we assume in the first part of the Mishnah, when we said, Amafkid motzei etzel shulchani, that if they were bundled up, if they were tsurin, so then the shulchani is not allowed to use it. What is unique, if you wish, about bundling it up? After all, most of the time, you give it to them in some sort of a bundle. You give it to him in an envelope. You give it to him in a money purse or some sort of a wallet. So why does that demonstrate that he's not allowed to use it? He's a shulchani. And when you give him money, in even a bundled way, why would that imply? Rashi says, Lashon Bisni over here, Magilu Das Yeshkan Shen Chofetz Yishtamish Ben. When he gives it to him in a bundle, how does that demonstrate that he doesn't want him to use it? So, if it's Mutarin, then it demonstrates he's allowing him to use it. And if it's tied up, they normally give the money when it's tied up, bundled up in some way. So how does that demonstrate that the person, Ruvain, doesn't want the Shulchani to use the funds? So we have two terutz. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yehuda, Bitzruvin Vachasumin. Shano. Our Mishnah is talking about not only was it just tied up, that would not indicate, you're right, that would not indicate that the person didn't want the Shulchani to use it. But he then sealed it, he signed it, and therefore that's demonstrating, I don't want you touching the money, I just want you watching the money for me, and therefore he has no right to use it, and therefore he's only going to be chayev if there's negligence, if he was posheya. But he would be chayev anything else. That's teretz number one, Rav Asi Amar Rav Yehuda. Teretz number two, Rav Mari Amar Bikesher Mishuna. He did give it to him in a, quote, normal bundled way, but he tied the bundle up in a unique way, in an unusual way, Bikesher Mishuna. And that unusual knot that he tied it up with demonstrates, I don't want you touching the money. So whether it's Rav Asi Amar Rav Yehuda that he sealed it, he signed it and sealed it in some sort of a way, or Rav Mari's understanding that it was a unique knot, those are the reasons why if you give it to him in this unique way of tsurin, that's not the typical tsurin, it's either sealed or signed, or it's an unusual knot, that demonstrates that he doesn't want the Shulchani to use it, and that's why, lo yishtamish ben, and therefore, lefikochim avdu, enu chayv yachriusim. Fine. That's the first version that we have of this. The second version is that Rav Mari actually asked the question, Ika Diamre, that Rav Mari didn't come to give us a din of Bekesha Mishuna. He was asking, what would be the halacha if it was a Kesha Mishuna? Ika Diamre, boy, Rav Mari, Kesha Mishuna, my, what would be the halacha? Do we consider this like a regular tying up, or do we consider this a unique way of tying it up that demonstrates that he doesn't want the Shulchanai to use it? He asked it as a question, not as an answer. Take, and the Gemara doesn't give a final terror. Tishbi Yataris, Kushus Yabais. Wait till Elio comes, Behavior Yomenu, tells us the answer. Then we quote the Mishnah that said, Mutari Nishtamish Ben Vechule, that when you give money to a money changer, certainly if it's untied, or as we just pointed out, just tied in a normal fashion, so then you're basically saying, the Shulchani, you have the right to use the funds, but as a result, Lefikach, even if he wasn't Posheya, but then in that situation, since he has the right to use the funds, so we'll see, he's either going to be functioning as a Shoal or as a Shoal Masach, those will be the two opinions we'll give now in the Gemara, so therefore, if he uses them, has the right to use them, im avdu chayav yachriusin. Now, Amar Funa, the first version of this is that it's not just chayav for gneiva v'aveda. He's not functioning as a shomer sachar, as we'll see the second opinion in a moment, but Rav Huna says he's functioning as a shoel because he's getting all the benefit. He has this money, he's not paying anything for it, so therefore he's a shoel essentially on this money, and therefore vafilu nensu, even if it's onsen, he's going to be chayav for it. Eidinger says, that's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said, im avdu, then in that situation, im avdu chayav yachriusin. That implies that he's only a shomasach, he's only chayav for gneiva v'aveda, but he would be potter for onsin. So one says, no, this avdu in the Mishnah we had previously, kidderabba, as Rabbi explained previously, we had this earlier in the Gemara, but it's actually from a Mishnah later in the Masechta, and the Amar Rabbah had said, Nignevu, when it says Nignevu in that Mishnah, it means Belist and Mizuyin. That robbery there, that theft, was actually by armed robbers, which is a type of onsen. And when it said avdu over there, it wasn't talking about he just lost it, but it's talking about shetavos shinos bayam, that his boat sank at sea, which is an ones, and therefore the nignevu and avdu there is talking about onsen. So too, like Rabbah explained it over there, we would explain it over here, according to this opinion of Rav Huna, that he's acting as a shoal, and he's chayev not only for gneiva v'aveda, he's chayev even for onsen. So when our Mishnah says im avdu, it's talking about shetavos shinos bayam. That's teretz number one. And now we'll see teretz number two, that the Shulchani is not functioning as a shoal, but he's functioning as a shoal masachar. We'll have to explain why not a shoal, and why is he a shoal masachar, not a shoal machinim. So Rav Nachman Amar, Nen Sulo. Rav Nachman learns our Mishnah in the straightforward way. When it says avdu, it means gneva v'aveda. And therefore, he would only be chayev for gneva v'aveda, but he would be potter for onsen. Now, why is that? Amalei Rav or Rav Nachman. Rav questions this opinion of Rav Nachman. He says, according to you, l'di doch. The Amritz Nen Sulo. Did you say for Onsen he would not be Chayev? So then, Alma Lo Heavy Shol Alayu. You're obviously of the opinion that the Shulchani is not considered to be a Shoel. But wait a second. If he's not a shoel, so he's also not a shoel masacher. He didn't get any money for this. So he's shoel lo havi, shoel masacher nami lo havi. So according to you, if he's not a shoel, we can understand why he would be a shoel. He's getting all the benefit of the money without having to pay for it anyway. That's like a guy to borrow something. But according to you, he's not a shoel, so then he's not getting any money. Why is he not a shoel machinam? He should be called a shoel machinam, and therefore should be part of a gneva v'aveda. Why are you saying, yes, he's a shoel masacher and chayiv for gneva v'aveda, but part of for onsen? Where do you see that he's a shoel masacher? So that's the question that Rav asked Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman explains very easily. He says, Amalei, b'hor modin aloch, I admit to you that in fact, the hoel v'nene mihana, that in fact, he is getting some benefit over here. It's as if he's being paid, because behau hano the imisrami lezvino the isbo ravocha zovan behu, because he has cash, he is now fluid money, he's liquid, and therefore if a great opportunity comes up for him to buy something, boom, he has cash right there. So it's like a line of credit. So he's being given this line of credit, so to say. That line of credit is like a payment to him. And therefore, he's treated and viewed as a shomer socher because of the potential benefit that he gets from being able to use this money. He's now a shomer socher. Therefore, he's chayav gneva v'aveda. But he's not a shoel. And therefore, he will be patur for onsen. So this is the machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Now, Eisli Rav Nachman, Rav Huna. Rav Nachman questions Rav Huna. You're saying he's a shoel. So, wait a second. It says in the following Mishnah, this is a Mishnah in Me'ila, which is talking about, Rashi says, the Gizbar, the treasurer of Hekdesh. So, this treasurer has Hekdesh money in his possession, which, of course, as the treasurer, he's allowed to have, but he's not allowed to have it leave his possession. If he does this unintentionally, this is called Me'ila, and he'd be chayiv to pay back the principal plus a fifth, and bring a carbon asha me'ila. So the Mishnah me'ila tells us, Hamafkid mos etzel shulchani. If this gizbar takes hektish money, and he gives it to the shulchani. So Reuven here, who's giving money to the shulchani, is not giving his own money, he's giving over the money of hektish to the shulchani. Now, he doesn't realize that this was hektish money. He thought it was his own money. But if he's giving it over to the shulchani in tsrurin, if they're bundled up, again, in the way that we said demonstrates that he doesn't want the shulchani to use it, either he signed it, or like the first version that we had from Rav Mari, that he tied an unusual knot on it, so then it never was given over to the shulchani to use, so then it's still considered within Reuven's possession, and there's no change in the possession, and there is no me'il at all. So if they're bundled up, so the shulchani has no right to use it, lo yishtamish ben, so the shulchani is not allowed to use it. If the shulchani uses it, lefikach im hotzi, if the shulchani takes this money, the shulchani is the one that's moal, lo moal ha-gizbar. The shulchani is the one that took it out of the possession of Reuven the gizbar, the hektish own gabai, and therefore, the shulchani is the one that's going to be chayav me'ilah. However, if Reuven gave this hektish money by accident over to the shulchani, untied, the imutarim, he gave it to him untied, so then, by definition, the shulchani is allowed to use it, yishtamesh bohen, but now this was an act of me'ila on the part of Reuven because he gave it over to the shulchani. Lefikach im hotzi. Now, if this shulchani uses the money, this me'ila is looked back at the me'ila on Reuven, on the gizbar, the treasurer, he's the one that's over Me'ila, even though the shulchani was the one that took it out. Lefikach im hotzi, more like gizbar. Now, here's the question. Rav Nachman says, according to you, Rav Huna, so the person's a shoel. V'i armis afilu nensu, he's a shoel, so my iria hotzi, afilu lo hotzi, nami. Then why did you say that the shulchani had to be motze, lefikach im hotzi, more like gizbar? The fact that the shulchani got it, the minute the shulchani gets it, it was given over to the shulchani, he's a shoel. And as a result, this shulchani, now, when the money came into his possession, so the gizbar guy, the gabai, Reuven, he should be moel from that moment. Why did the Mishnah say he's only moel im hotzi, if then the shulchani used the money? He should be moel right away. So the more answers, Rav Huna says, Amalei, Rav Huna says back to Rav Nachman, no. Who I did, I forgot the low hotzi. No, you're 100% right. Even if he wasn't motzi the money, the minute that the gizbar, Reuven, gave over the money in unintentionally, he is moel the minute he gives over the money to the shulchani, because it changed hands. It's now considered to be in the possession of the shulchani, so me'ilu was done. So that's even if lo hotzi. The chiddush over here in the Mishnah is va'aydi d'tana reisha hotzi, tana sefer nami hotzi. The din is the same whether it's hotzi or not. All right, why did it say hotzi? For parallelism. Since the reisha, lefikach im hotzi, lo mo'ala gizbar. So the same it says, lefikach im hotzi, mo'ala gizbar. So it's just for parallelism. But in fact, halacha, according to Rav Huna, would be that, yeah, the minute the money was given from Reuven, the gizbar, to the shochani, who is a shoel, so it transferred, it exchanged from being in Reuven's possession, the gizbar's possession, to someone else's possession, and that's called ve'ila. Okay. So that's the two ways, Rav Nachman and Rav Huna, to understand our Mishnah. How does the Shulchani function? As a Shoel, according to Rav Huna, or as a Shomer Socher, according to Rav Nachman? Okay, next Mishnah. Hasholeach Yoav B'Pikadon. If somebody does Shlichus Yad, if somebody who's a Shomer goes and misappropriates the funding, misappropriates the item that he was given to watch, and subsequently that item is destroyed. So, Beishami Omrim Yilkeh. So Beishamai holds that the person, the shomer, who destroyed the object, he ate the object, he sold the object, whatever he did to this object, so he is punished, yilke, he has to pay whether it went down in price, b'choser, u'b'yoser, or if it went up in price. We'll see in a moment what this means, but basically it's telling us that since we have a rule that you pay kishas hagzela, so the person who stole it, this shomer, by doing shlichus yad, is essentially stealing it. So he, at a minimum, is going to pay its value at the time that he stole it. And if it depreciates, if it goes down, so then he's still going to have to pay the value at the time that he stole it. So it was worth $100 when he stole it. Now, when he ate it up, or when he used it, it was only worth 50. Nevertheless, he still has to pay $100, kishas hagzela. But if it's worth increase in value, it went from $100 when he stole it to $150 when he ate it or sold it, whatever it may be. So then it's yosser, it went up, then he has to pay the higher price. That's the opinion of Beishamai. We'll see this more in the Gemara. We have two other opinions in the Mishnah. Beis Hillel omrim kishas hotzah. Beis Hillel says, no, you pay at the value of the time of the hotzah. The Gemara will have a whole discussion as to what this means, kishas hotzah. And then we have the third opinion, the final opinion of the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Bishas HaTzviya, that you pay based upon the time that you're taking to Beis Din, and Beis Din says you owe this money. So we'll have to explain Beis Hillel and Rabbi Kiva more, but first we'll start off with explaining Beis Shammai's opinion a little bit more. Gemara starts and says, Amar Rabba, Rabba says, Hai man de gozul chaviso de charma mechavre. If Reuven had his wine stolen by Shimon, Shimon steals Reuven's wine. Now, originally, Meikara Shavizuza. When Shimon stole this barrel of wine, let's say from Reuven, it was worth a zuz. And now Hashta Shavi Arba, but the value of the wine went up. It's now worth 4 zuzim. And this at this point, when it's worth 4 zuzim, Tavra Oshasa. That's when Shimon, who stole this wine worth 1 zuz, now breaks it. Tavra. He breaks the barrel Oshasa, or he drinks up the wine in the barrel when it's worth 4 zuz. So how much does he have to pay? Rabbi says, Mishalem Arba. He has to pay 4 zuzim because that was its value at the time that he destroyed it, Tavra Oshasa. However, Itbar Mimela, but he didn't go and break the barrel. He didn't go and drink the wine. Something happened and the barrel broke. Itbar Mimela, it broke on its own without the gun of Shimon actually going and breaking it. So then he only has to pay Mishalem Zuza. Then he pays the value at the time of the Gzela. Now, what's this understanding of Rabbah? So I already alluded to it, but let's see. The Gemara says, my timer. Why does Rabbah say that if he broke it or drank it, he has to pay the new value of 4 zuz, but if it broke on its own, he only pays him the value of 1 zuz, which is the value that it was at the time that he stole it. So, Kivon de'i Isa, so Rabbah explains, if this barrel had not been broken, and it still had been around right now, so then he has the right, the Ganav has to say, the Heshav is Gzela, Asher Gozal. Here is the item that I stole. And Hai Shaita, the Koshasi lay, O the Kotover lay, Ko Gozal Mine. And therefore, since he has the right to return the barrel if it's extant, so when is the actual theft over here, so to say, taking effect? When he breaks the barrel or he drinks the wine? At that moment in time, that's when the Gzela is viewed to occur. Utsnan, as we learned in the Mishnah in Bava Kama, not that long ago, towards the end of Bava Kama on that side of Gimel, it said, Utsnan, kol ha'gazlonim mishalmim kishas ha'gzela. You pay at the time of the gzela. So here, when it went up in price, we view the gzela as occurring when he breaks the barrel or drinks the wine in the barrel. And therefore, it's worth 4 zuz. So that's the Shas Gezela. That's why he has to pay the increased amount of 4 zuz. But it bar mimela, Rabbi says, if it broke on its own, so then Mishalim Zuzah, he has to pay only 1 zuz. Why? What's the rationale there? My timer. Because hashta lo ovid lo velo midi. He didn't do anything other than he stole the barrel. He didn't break it. He didn't drink it. And therefore, at what point did the gzeil occur in this situation? Am I kol mechayvus lei? Ahi shaisa de gazla. He's chayv from the time that he actually took it, not when the time that it's broken, because he didn't break it. So ahi shaisa de gazla. And at that point in time, how much was it worth? Ahi shaisa zuzah hu dishavi. It was only worth the zuz because the barrel broke on its own. He could say, listen, I'm going to return the barrel. It broke on its own. So therefore, he retroactively was chayiv on it at the time of the gezela. And as a result, he's only chayiv in zuz. That's Rabbah's understanding. Now, that fits in very well with the opinion of Beis Shammai. And the moral question is, according to all the ways that we just understood it and that we're now going to understand Beis Hillel, it's going to appear that Rabbah is going to hold like Beis Shammai's opinion, which is extremely unlikely because when you have a machlokes Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, invariably, with rare exceptions, we always pass it like Beis Hillel and say Beis Shammai's opinion is not even considered an opinion. And therefore, how could Rabbah pass it like Beis Shammai? We'll get to that in a moment. In any event, the Mor now says, Tanan, our Mishnah said, Beis Hillel Omrim, Kishas Hotzah, that you pay at the time of the Hotzah. Now, what does it mean, my Bishas Hotzah? I said we would get to it, now we'll get to it. What does it mean, Bishas Hotzah? So, the Gemara says, Ilema, if you're going to tell me that Bishas Hotzah means, Kishas Hotzah Min Olam, at the time that it left the world, in other words, at the time that he broke it or drank it, Ubimai. So then, how does that work? Ibechoser, if it went down in price, so then, if he drinks it and it's only worth $50, it's no longer worth $100. So, mi kolaman di omar, does anybody say that he'd only have to pay 50? After all, what done? That Mishnah we learned above a comma, and that tzadik gimel, kol ha-gazlon, mishal mekishas ha-gzeila, everybody agrees to that. So therefore, Beis Hillel can't be saying that you pay kishas ha-tzah if it goes down in price. Therefore, the e biyasa, if it went up in price, so then you pay the 4 zuz, so then you'll be shamay. Then, what difference is there if we just explain Beis Hillel the way we did? So then he's saying the exact same thing as Beis Shammai, that if it goes up in price, you pay 4. If it goes down in price, you still pay the 1 that it was originally. So Beis Shammai is then saying the same exact thing as Beis Hillel. The Beis Hillel omim kishas otsah. It just should have said Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai say kishas otsah. So we turn to Mem Gimel of the Beis, and we say Elo Pshita. Obviously, Beis Hillel is not saying what Beis Shammai says. So therefore, when he says kishas hotzah, it means kishas hotzah mi beis balam. It means you pay at the time that you stole it. So if it goes up or it goes down, you don't pay the additional 4 zuz that it's now worth, and you certainly don't pay $50 if it was worth $100 originally. It was worth a half a zuz now. You don't pay half a zuz. You pay kishas hagzela. That means hoshas hotzah mi beis habalim. So you always pay 1 zuz over here. Even though it's now worth 4 zuz or it went down to a half a zuz, you pay 1. That's the opinion of Beis Hillel. But then we have a problem. So Gemara says, Lema Rabba, Dorma Kabe Shammai. As we explained, Rabba, you pay the higher amount if it went up to 4, then you pay the higher amount if you drank it or broke it, but you always pay at least 1 if you didn't do anything, so you pay 1. Even if it's worth less now, you pay kishas hagzela. So then, Rabba's statement seems to only go according to Beis Shammai, not according to Beis Hillel, who says you always pay at the kishas hagzela. So that's problematic, as we pointed out, that we wouldn't have Rabba holding like Beis Shammai. So, the Gemara says, you're right, let's understand this. Amaluch Rabba will tell us the following. Biyasa, if it goes up in value, so it went from 1 zuz to 4 zuz, kuli amaluch pligi, then everybody agrees. Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree that you pay 4 zuz. No problem. And where's the machlokas? Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, ki pligi bichosit, if it went down in price. Beis Shammai savre, Beis Shammai says that this is a shlichus yad over here. Shlichus yad eino tzricha chisaret. So as soon as you misappropriated this item, so it now becomes yours. And therefore, if it goes down in value, well, you already stole. It went down in value under your watch. The chi chaser birishuso di day chaser, and therefore it went down when you owned it, so to say. You misappropriated it. That's the point that you own it. So it went from 1 zuz to a half a zuz. Went from $100 to $50. That's your $50 loss. You still have to go pay back the original owner the $100 or the 1 zuz. Now, Beis Hillel disagrees with that. They say, Beis Hillel Sabre, Shlichus Yad Tzricho Chisaron. They hold, in this famous machlokes that we had a couple of days ago, whether Shlichus Yad Ein Tzricho Chisaron or Shlichus Yad Tzricho Chisaron. So Beis Shammai says, Shlichus Yad Ein Tzricho Chisaron, and Beis Hillel holds, Shlichus Yad Tzricho Chisaron. So when you misappropriated it, you didn't do anything to it, there was no Chisaron. Now, it has a Chisaron on its own, so V'ki Chaser, Birshuso Demari Chaser, you haven't used it yet. There was no chisaron that you did to it. So therefore, if it goes down independently in price, that's still in the possession of the owner. So this item that was worth 100, now it was worth 50, it was the owner that lost the 50. And that is, in fact, in the case of chisaron, that's the case between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that they're arguing about, with Beis Shammai saying, shlichus yad ein tzricho chisaron. So therefore, it was already considered yours, and then the decrease from 100 to 50 was under your watch, in your possession, and therefore you have to pay him the $100. Whereas Beis Hillel says, no, shlichus yad tzricho chisaron, and therefore it went from 100 to 50 in the domain still of the original owner, and therefore you only have to pay him 50. Oh, that's a nice machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. But the only problem is, El Hodu Amar Rava, Rava said, shlichus yad ein tzricho chisaron. So we paskin over here that shlichus yad and therefore, are you telling me Lema Rava the Amar Beis Shammai? Is Rava passing over here like Beis Shammai? Again, we have determined the halach is Shlichus Yad Eino Tzricha Chisaron, and that would be then in accordance with Beis Shammai. So that's also a problem to learn it this way. More tries again, so that we don't have either Rabba or Rava learning like Beis Shammai, passing like Beis Shammai. Elohach Ba'eskin. So here's how we have to explain our Mishnah, the machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Kigon, we're talking here about a case, Shetiltula, he tilts the barrel to use it as a step stool, Lahavi Olea Gozlos, in order that he can go and step on the barrel to go reach the Gozlos, the pigeons that are in the upper chambers of the Shovach, of the dovecote, and this way he can reach them. So he's using the barrel as a step stool. Now, Ubishoel Shlomidas. He is considered a shoel without permission. He borrows it, but he didn't have permission to borrow it. And that's the machlokes between Beis Hillel and Shammai. Komifligi, what is the halachic status of a shoel Shlomidas? Beis Shammai Sabri, shoel Shlomidas, Gazlanavi. Beis Shammai says, hey, you weren't allowed to do this. You used it without permission. You're a shoel Shlomidas and you're chayiv. And therefore, shoel Shlomidas, Gazlanavi. You are a Gazlan. And therefore, the minute you went and use this barrel to go and use it as a step stool, so that's the moment that the item that was stolen came into your possession. And therefore, if it decreased the value, the barrel was worth $100 beforehand, and now it's worth $50, it decreased in value while it was in your possession. You're considered a gazlan the minute you use it as a step stool. And a shoel omidas is a gazlan according to Beis Shammai. And therefore, that's why you pay the $100 and not the $50, as opposed to a soul savvy, shoel shlomidas, shoel heavy. A person who's a shoel shlomidas is considered a shoel. He's not considered a goslin. And therefore, the key chaser, since when it decreases in value, it's still considered birushusa demara chaser. You're borrowing it, but it's considered still in the possession of the original owner of this barrel. And therefore, if it goes from $100 to $50, so then it depreciating in value in the domain of the original owner, the one who owns the barrel. And therefore, you have to only now pay 50 if the barrel breaks or if you destroy it in some way. So now, we're saying the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is, how do we view the shoal? This shoal, Shlomidas, is a gazlan habi, Beis Shammai, or is he a shoal? So that's according to Beis Hillel. But wait a second, this is again problematic. Elohod the Omar Rava, because Rava said, Shol Shlomidas, Le Rabbanon, Gazlan Havi. Rava says that we paskin, that the Shol Shlomidas, the Chacham's opinion is that you're considered a Gazlan. Now, that goes like Beis Shammai again. So are we saying, Lema Rava, the Omar can be Shammai? Again, the way we've learned this is that we're forcing Rava in this situation, as well as the previous situation, and Rava in the first situation, to paskin like Beis Shammai, which again is highly unlikely. So we have a problem. So there basically is no way to understand the machlokas in our Mishnah the way we've been trying to. So the Gemara says, Elo, our last and final attempt, which will be successful, Elohocha b'shevach shel gzeilo kamiflugi. The machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in our Mishnah is, how do we view a property that was stolen if it went up in value intrinsically? B'shevach shel gzeilo kamiflugi. If the item goes up in value, we'll see in a moment, on its own, based upon its intrinsic properties. So, Beis Shammai Sabre, Shevach Gizelo Dinigzal Havi, that any improvements intrinsically in this object, so they belong to the one who it was stolen from. So, for example, we'll see, if it had wool that grew on it, or it gave birth to a baby, so that all belongs to the nigzal. This is called shevach gizela. So this improvement, the wool that grew on it, or the baby that was born from the animal, so that belongs to the nigzal. That belongs to the guy who owns the sheep, let's say. So in that situation, the value that went up belongs to the original owner. No, this occurred while it was in the possession of the gazlan, and he gets the item. Now, everybody agrees that you have to return the item if it's extant. So when you have an item that you stole and it's still there, so everybody agrees to that. So what are they arguing about over here? Beisil and Beishamai, Ubeplux with the Hani Tanoi. This machlokes between Beisil and Beishamai parallels a different machlokes Tanoi that we're going to bring down from the following brides. So the Tani, here it says Beferish. Hagozel es arochel. Somebody goes and steals a sheep. Shimon steals Reuven's sheep. And he then goes and shears it. Gizoza. He shears this sheep that he stole. He now has wool taken off from the sheep. Or Vyalda. This sheep became pregnant, either it was pregnant already, or becomes pregnant in his possession, and it gives birth. So what do you do with these shearings, and what do you do with this baby? So the Tanakam and the Braisa, which is Remeir, Mishalim Osa, you have to go and return the actual sheep that you stole. You always have to Heshiv Esekzela Shagozal, and you have to also go and give back V'ezgizo Seha. You have to give back the shearings. If they're not around, you have to pay for the value of the shearings, and the Ezlaloseh, and you have to give back this baby sheep that was born. That is the opinion of Remeir, because he says that Shevach Gizela de Nigzal Havi. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Gizela Choseres Beinah. Yes, the actual item, Heshev Zagdela Shagozal, that has to go back. But anything else, the shearings or the child that was born, the baby that was born, the little sheep that was born, that belongs to the Ganav. Now, Rashi explains. So this is the case. This is the case of it went down in value, went up in value of our Mishnah. Lav biyukra vizula. It's not talking about that the market prices went up and this item that he stole, the market now says it's worth more, or the market now says it is worth less. No. Ela b'may de chosro, when it says chosro, it means the hainu gizos, it means the shearings. Ubamay shehus sira, and that it went up, it could go in imnis abro etzlo, if it became pregnant while in his possession, while in the Ghana's possession. So the Beishamai Sabre, Beishamai is of the opinion, hako yishalim, ki Rav Meir. Beishamai holds like Rav Meir, that you pay not only the actual sheep back, you have to give the sheep back, but you also have to give back the shevach, the shearings, or the baby sheep that was born. So Beis Shammai holds like Rav Meir. And Beis Hillel says, no, you just give back the item, but the improvements that went up in the shearings that you did, or the baby sheep that was born, that belongs to you, to the gazlan, Rav Yehuda. Because kishas hotzah mi beis abalan, because we view it heishus gezela shagazal at the time you pay at the time of the gezela. So we're now setting up that Beis Shammai holds like Rav Meir, and Rav Yehuda is in accord with the opinion of Beis Hillel. And I'll show you that this is right. The Gemara says daikanami, because look at the language of the Mishnah. Diktani Beis Shammai omrim yilke bechoser ubiyoser, that you're being hit, you're going to have to pay if it choser or yoser. It doesn't say if it went up. Rashi points out it doesn't say a lashon of zol or yukra. It doesn't use the language that would mean if it was independently because of market forces going up in price or going down in price. It uses the lashon of choser and yoser. Ubeishel omrim kishaso saw, it means that you don't have to give back the shearings or the vlados. Oh, shma mina. This is a good diuk that this machlokas in our Mishnah, Beis Hillel Shammai, parallels the machlokas in the Braisa of Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Now, we have the third opinion in the Mishnah, which we now quote, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kishas HaTzviya. Rabbi Akiva says that you go and pay based upon when they take you to court, what is its value at that point in time, and you have to go and pay based upon that time. How do we pass them with these three opinions? Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. The Amora Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Shmuel, Halocha ki Rabbi Akiva. We pass them like this third opinion, like the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, Kishas HaTzviya. But Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel says, Umod Rabbi Akiva, even Rabbi Akiva admits, B'makom Sheish Edim. The Shas HaTzviya is when the actual court case occurs. But the Edim, who saw this Geneva a week before, let's say, So in that situation, Rabbi Akiva is modeh, according to this first understanding of Rabbi Akiva, that in fact, at that time that the Edom see it, that's when the Geneva is occurring, and that's considered at that moment in time the obligation for the Goslin. Not at the Tfiya, but at the time of the Edom seeing you steal it. Why? My time up, because the Pasuk says, the Amakra, Lasher hu lo yitnenu biyom ashmoso. Because in Parashas Vayikra, it says that you will go and give it to him on the day of the Asham, biyom ashmoso. So the day of the guilt, the day that you're seen by witnesses, is the day of the guilt. Not only the Tviya, but the day of the witnesses. So therefore, v'kivan d'ika edim, mehehu shaisa hu d'yishayv le'ashma. So that's how you determine if they're witnesses, it's from that time. So that's the first understanding of Rabbi Kiva. However, that was Yehuda Mashmur. Amalei Rav Hoshaya l'Yehuda. Rav Hoshaya, who is a Talmud of Rav Yehuda, says, that's your opinion, Rabbi. Rav Hoshaya says to Rav Yehuda, Rabbi, okay, you're saying this in the name of Shmuel. However, Rav Asi said in the name of Rav Yochanan that Rabbi Akiva afilu b'makom sheyesh edim. That Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's always from the time that you go to court, even if there are witnesses. Why? My time because of the pasuk. The Yomakra, Lasher hu lo yitnenu biyom ashmaso. When is the Yom Ashmaso? Ubei dino hu dekom chayvi le'ashma. It's the Beis Din that determines it. Yes, the witnesses will be the reason why the Beis Din determines it, but at that point in time, with just witnesses and no Beis Din, he's not chayiv. So therefore, it's only when he goes to the Beis Din. So Rav Hoshaya says in the name of Rav Asi, who said in the name of Rav Yochanan. So Machlok is really Shmuel versus Rav Yochanan. Do we view the time of the Edim? So according to Shmuel, yes, the time of the Edim determines it, not the time of the Beis Din. And Rav Yochanan says, even according to Rabbi Akiva, at the time of the Edim, that doesn't do anything. It's always at the time of the Beis Din. Now, Amalei Rav Zeira l'Rav Abba Bar Papa, Rav Zeira said to Rav Abba Bar Papa, Ki Ozel Slahasim, when you go up to Eretz Yisrael, Akiv. Rashi says the Lashon of Akiv is whenever you go out of your way. Here be'es haderech, if you take additional steps, v'sivev derech arucha, and you go in a longer route, al dover zeh l'leches derech ma'ala shel hatzor. So Rav Zeira is telling Rav Abba Bar Papa, when you go up to Eretz Yisrael and you're Akiv and you're taking a longer route to go to Asum or Ditzor, for all the Gabe de Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, take this longer route so you can go and ask this question to Rav Yaakov Bar Idi. Rashi says that Rav Yaakov Shom, he lives over there, and go and ask him this question, Ma Shomami Rav Yochanan Rabbo. He was a star pupil of Rav Yochanan. So ask him, what is the halacha according to Rav Yochanan in this case? Ishmielei Rav Yochanan, halacha Rabbi Akiva? Oh, ain't halacha Rabbi Akiva. Go and ask him, do we paskin in fact, did Rav Yochanan paskin in fact like Rabbi Akiva or not? So, Amalei, when Rav Yaakov or Edi was approached by Rav Abba Bar Papa, he told him, Amalei, halachi Amar Rav Yochanan, this is the psak halacha of Rav Yochanan, in fact, halachic Rabbi Akiva. But then he adds on a word, la'olam. We always paskin like Rabbi Akiva. What does it mean, la'olam? Every single case in Tshas? No, that's not what it means. It means in this situation that we've been discussing, we always paskin like Rabbi Akiva. And there are two possible ways to understand that. My li'olam. So the first understanding would be, Amar Rav Ashi explains when Yaakov Avidi said the name of Yochanan, Halacha Rabbi Akiva li'olam. So Rav Ashi says, Shelo tomar hanimili de'hecha de'leka edim. Abol hecha de'iku edim lo. That you might have thought we passing like Shmuel, but no, we passing like Rav Yochanan brought down, that whether they're edim or whether there aren't edim, the Shas Tviya is the determining factor. So Rav Ashi says, that's what Rav Yaakov Avidi meant when he said, Halacha Rabbi Akiva li'olam. It means, like Rav Yochanan, in both of these situations, we passing that whether they're Edom or not Edom, you go by Shas Tviya in the Beis Din. That's Teretz number one. V'inami, Teretz number two, the Adro L'duchto V'itabra. It's going back to our Mishnah, where we said, where it broke on its own. And he took it, he did Shlichus Yad on it, and then it broke on its own. So he's telling us, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, lafuki mid Rabbi Yishmol, as opposed to the machloks we had between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmol a day ago. Diyama, lo bo inan daz balim. When you return it, so we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yishmol said a few days ago that you don't have to go and notify the balim. As long as you returned it to a place that mishtameres, boom, you have returned it. And therefore, the Omar, lo bo inan daz balim, you don't have to let the balim know. So, kamash v'lan, when Rabbi Yaakov Ridi said, Amar Rav Yochanan, Halacha Rabbi Akiva li'olam, he's saying la'olam means even in that case that we don't paskin like Rabbi Yishmol, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. There, kamash v'lan, deva'in and das balam. You have to go and return it to and notify the balam that it's been returned. No, that was Rav Yaakov Avidi, that was Rav Yochanan. But the Gemara concludes and says, Rav Amar Halacha Beis Hillel. Rav says, no, in fact, we paskin over here like Beis Hillel. So it's not at the Shas Tviyah, it is at the time that it's removed from the owner's, original owner's possession, from his domain. At that point, that is the amount of money that you pay, and Rashi brings down, this then, Kishas HaGzela, Vanan Kirova Avdina. We paskin, in fact, like Rava, because of the famous rule, the Havale Basra. And when you have people of the same category, you have two Amoraim, so we assume that the latter Amora knew the opinion of the earlier Amora, and yet decided to paskin against it. It must be that he had reasons why that first Amora was wrong, and therefore, we say, Halacha Kibasroi. Okay, now we go on to the last Mishnah in this beautiful Perek of HaMafkid. HaChoshev L'Sholach Yabib, you've called it. If a person just thinks, now Rashi explains that here he says, Omar B'fnei Edim. Here it says that he actually said it in front of Edim. Now, the Bach points out that Rashi elsewhere seems to disagree with that and says that he didn't actually have to state it. He could even be just thinking it. So, in any event, he either thinks it or he states that I'm going to go and be Sholach Yad in this Pikodon. So, Beishami Omrim Chayev, from that moment in time, you're already Chayev. No, you actually have to go and do the Shlichas Yad, not just to say you will do the Shlichas Yad or to think that you will do the Shlichas Yad. Based upon the Pasuk, Shenemar, Im lo shalach yodo bim lechas v'yeyu. You actually have to go and do the Shlichas Yad. You're not chayiv, according to Beis Hillel, if you just think or say that you're going to do the Shlichas Yad. Case number two in the Mishnah. He to es achavis, if this person who is a shomer on the barrel goes and tilts the chavis to go and steal some of it, but not tell him in a revius, and he goes and takes a revius out of the barrel, so he's chayv for that revius, but he never acquired anything else in the barrel. And mashalim elo revius. He this has to only pay the revius. If the barrel, something that happens to the rest of the barrel, and he wasn't negligent on the rest of the barrel, so then he wouldn't be chayv for the rest of the barrel. But he is chayv for the revius that he took. However, that's when he just tilted the barrel, so he didn't make a kinyan on the rest of it. He could be a benotelemen revius, but if in fact he lifted it up, and therefore he made a kinyan on the entire barrel, even though he only took out a revius, so then if something happens to the barrel of an ishbra, so he is already considered as if he was sholeach yad, and therefore he's posheya, and mishalim demei kula. He acquired the whole thing at the time of his pshia, at the time that he was sholeach yad, and therefore he has to pay for the entire barrel. Now, we turn to Memdalad and Aleph to discuss this Mishnah. Morris starts off and says, Mino hani mili. How do we know the opinions, the respective opinions of Beisham and Beisil based upon the Psukim? After all, the Tanur Rabban, we learn the following brisa. Al kol dvar pesha. The Pasuk tells us that any time you do something with Pshia, so you're going to be chayiv. So Beisham yomrim, malami shechayiv al hamachshova k'maisa. It says, I'll call devar pesha, even dibor, even machshava, that's going to make you chayiv. So if you have the thought, or you verbalize it, again, what the different opinions within Rashi here, in Rashi and Kedushin, so either saying it or thinking it, that's called devar pesha. And Beishame says, Malami shechayiv al hamachshava kimaisa. So you're thinking of being posheya yad, of doing shlichas yad, so then that is considered as if you did it. And therefore you're chayiv from that moment in time. Whereas Beis Hillel says, no. Read on further. You're only chayiv when you actually do the shlichus yad. No, what about our pasuk? You have the previous pasuk that seems to say divar pesha. What are you going to do with that? So Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, no, but halo kvar nemar im lo shalach yodo melechus v'yehu. What are you going to do with the pasuk of shlichus yad im lo shalach yodo? Oh, so therefore we need that to tell us that he actually has to do the shlichus yad. And how do we darsh in your pasuk al kodvar pesha im keimat hamelom al kodvar pesha? That teaches us sheyochel. I might have thought ein li elohu, that only if the actual shomer himself is the one that does the shlichus yad. But if he were to tell his eved, oh, somebody else, lishlucho, his shaliach, that they should go and do the shlichas yad, how do we know that he himself is chayiv, the shomer is chayiv minayin? Oh, that's Talmud Lomar. I'll call devar pesha. Even you're saying to somebody else to be shaliach yad, that's as if you did the shlichas yad yourself. So that's the understanding of Sukkim according to Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. We quote the Mishnah said, Hita esa chavis v'chule. If you just tilted the barrel of wine and took out a revius, so you only were acquiring that revius, and that's the only part that you're chayef for. The rest of the barrel, you're not chayef for. Rabba says, Lo shanu, we only said that ela nishbra. That was in the case, if subsequently the rest of the barrel broke, so then the remaining wine in it, you didn't make a kinyan on. However, avol hichmitza, if the barrel didn't break, but the wine spoiled, so then you're opening up the barrel and taking off the revius, ultimately caused the rest of the wine to spoil. So avol hechmitzo mishali miskula. Then you are obligated to pay for all of it because my time. What's the reasoning? Gire didei. It's your arrows who the anu ahanu law that caused the wine to be machlis. But you're opening it up. You allowed it to spoil. So therefore, you are responsible for all the rest of the spoilage of the barrel, even though you didn't acquire it. Then we quote the mission said higbia v'notal hemen v'chule. If, however, you lifted up the barrel, so you made a kinyan essentially on all of the wine in the barrel, so then even though you only took out a revias, you're chayef for everything else if there's an accident that breaks everything else, even though that's not your pshia. Amar Shmuel, when Shmuel says in the Mishnah, it said, higbia v'notal hemenu, it doesn't mean lo notal, notal mamish. It doesn't mean that you literally had to have taken it. Elo kivon shehigbiha lito, since you just lifted up the barrel to go and take your revias, so afa pi shelo notal, even though you didn't take out the revias at that moment in time, you're already going to be chayev. Oh, so the Gemara says, le'im ha'kosav Shmuel, shlichus yad, ein notzvich ha'chisar. Let us say the Shmuel holds like the opinion that we brought down halacha previously of Rava that shlichus yad ain not tzricha chisaron, that your shlichus yad over here, even though it didn't cause any damage, you are obligated. You're chayev. So let us assume that Shmuel holds like Rava. Shmuel says no, maybe not. Amri lo, you can't prove this. Doesn't mean he doesn't, but you can't prove this to a Mishnah because you could argue our Mishnah is different. Shiny hacha, the nichole the teve ha'chav is kula bosses. Maybe the only reason why you're chayev for the rest of the barrel here is not because shlichus yad ein notzvich chisaron, it's because you're actually benefiting from having the wine there in the rest of the barrel. So you're gaining right now by your revias still being in the barrel, it stays more secure, it stays more in a better condition than if you had taken it out. So therefore, the rest of the barrel is actually assisting you. And therefore, to have a ha'chav is kula bosses la'revias, it's actually helping you, it's actually as like a basis, a foundation, a base for your revias. And therefore, it's as if you took out the revias and now you put it back there to allow it to be stored better. So the fact that the revias is in the barrel, it allows it to be better saved and stay in a good condition. So therefore, that's a yuchayev in this situation. Finally, we conclude with the following kashya from Ravashi. Boy, Ravashi, what about in the scenario where higbia arnaki, where you lifted up a wallet, a purse that has money inside of it, but you only intended to take from it a dinar? You picked it up, higbia arnaki, but litol himeno rak dinar, just to take out one dinar from it. And the other 10 dinarim in the wallet, you're not going to take. So is this the same when you took out the one revias from the barrel, so the rest of the barrel is preserving that revias, it's maintaining it, so you want the rest of the barrel, and therefore you're chayev for the rest of the barrel. Do we say the same thing by the dinar? When you took out one dinar and you have it now in the wallet, so the rest of the wallet is somehow preserving that dinar or not? Do we say the two are analogous? What are the two possible sides to the coin over here? So do we say chamra hu delo mintar elo agav chamra, that when you have that revias wine, if you take it out, it's going to spoil faster than if you leave it in the barrel. So therefore, by regards to wine with spoilage, the rest of the barrel is actually helping the wine. But by coins, avo zuza. So do we say that somehow the rest of the wallet is protecting it? Zuza mintar? So you took out one dinar. That's all you're interested in. So the other 9 dinarim in the wallet, how are they protecting your one dinar? And therefore, it's not. And therefore, it's not analogous to the case of the barrel. Or do we say, no, on the other hand, Odilma, actually, shaini nitirusa the arnaki, mi nitirusa the dinar. No. A person will be much more careful than watching 10 dinarim, the entire wallet, and it's more secure, it's in one location, it's all together, and if you have a separate dinar, which maybe is a little bit easier to lose. So therefore, one could argue that just like with the barrel, that one revias is protected by having the rest of the wine in the barrel with it, so too, this one dinar is better protected by having the other 9 dinarim there and inside the wallet. So therefore, it is exactly analogous to the case. That's Ravashi's question, and we conclude his answer, as well as this parak, with teku. We don't know. Tishbi yitaretz kushos v'yabayos. B'yesus Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should bring Eliyahu Navi, bring Moshiach Tzikenu, and we can resolve all these kushes and have shalom in all of Klal Yisrael. Hadron lecha hamavkit, hadron lecha hamavkit, hadron lecha hamavkit. B'yesus Hashem, we will start parak hazov tomorrow. B'yesus Hashem, Yisbarach.